This is fun! The FU Network.
Now, let's listen.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, it is Michelle Badusky here. Thank you for tuning in today. Either you are tuning in to hear me on kickfm.ca, internet radio, streaming right out of Rapid City, Manitoba, or on Ed the Sox FU Network. You could also be watching me on my own Keeping It Real Facebook page, YouTube channel, or who knows where you're streaming from. Maybe you're just tuned into SoundCloud. Anyway, no matter how you are listening or watching me today, thank you for tuning in. So it's taken me a couple days to publicly address this issue, other than a couple of Facebook discussions, but Andrew Scheer is stepping down, or has stepped down, as leader of the Canadian Progressive Conservative Party. Now, it came as a shock to a lot of people, but not really to me. It's how he did it and when he did it, because, I mean, it was obvious. The writing was on the wall that he needed to leave. And I think everybody saw it, including the party, other than him. You know, I was watching him, following him on Twitter, watching everything. And from the moment he lost that election to the day he stepped down, I saw zero change in the man. I saw zero change in his policies, on his attack strategies. It's like he doubled down on everything he did that cost him the election. And he wasn't listening. Even when the Conservative Party was saying, okay, you know what, we need to step back, we need to evaluate, we need to go on a listening tour, we need to talk to people about why we lost this election, he was continuing the same behaviors. He was still being divisive. He was still spreading misinformation on Twitter and on social media. He was still attacking Justin Trudeau, refusing to comment or call him Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, which is a trend I am also seeing on the Conservative page. These are little things that he kept doing. He did it all through the election, and he kept doing it after he lost. Now, we kind of all knew that he was going to be replaced. I really did think he was going to hang on till April and have the Conservatives vote him out, but they had different plans. You know, when news broke that it was the fact that he was using party donors' money to put his kids through private school, at first I was shocked. I was thinking, you know, what a hypocrite. This is the man who jumped on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and any liberal that he could find, always screaming about ethics, always screaming about transparency, always taking this moral high road and touting himself as this true blue Christian that, you know, was above all of that common stuff. And it turns out he wasn't so above it. And at first, you know, there was some issues that there was some misappropriation of funds, or that he was doing it without party knowledge. And it came out that that wasn't necessarily completely true. Partially true, but not necessarily true. Some of the senior people in the Conservative camp said they were unaware, but others, like the executive director, said that they were fully aware, and it was a deal they struck with Andrew Scheer to offset the difference in costs between his kids' private school, and he had four kids in private school in Saskatchewan as compared to Ottawa when he became party leader. And it was touted as, you know, this kind of slush fund to help offset the party leader's moving expenses. So there was a deal. There was a backroom deal made here to offset those expenses for him. And who knew when they knew? We probably won't ever know. But all I can say is that if people like Stephen Harper, if they were in support of him to continue as leader, we would never have heard about this. They would have swept it under the rug. They would have never mentioned it again. We would not know about it. But it's obvious to anyone who's been watching that they really wanted him gone, and he was not taking the message. He was not listening. He put his ego in front of politics. He put his ego in front of the party. He put his ego in front of Canada, and he wasn't stepping down. So they kind of, you know, pulled this card out of their pocket and said, oh, you're stepping down. And instead of doing it on his own terms with a little bit of dignity and grace, he left in the exact opposite. And for those people that voted for him in your constituency, or in his constituency, I hope he stays on as an active member of parliament. But from what I'm hearing, he's kind of ignored his own riding for a long time. Now, am I sad to see Andrew Scheer gone? Yes and no. Yes and no. No, I'm not, in the way that he was a despicable man. Every time he opened his mouth, and this is even before the election. Now, I want to make something very clear to you. I used to be a conservative voter. I always considered myself a progressive conservative. I called myself a red Tory, that, you know what, I was fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I always, and have said this, that I wish there was a purple party, because I'd be right dead center in the middle of it. But it was Andrew Scheer that actually turned me into a card-carrying, flag-waving liberal. It was this man. I wasn't incredibly politically active in the Stephen Harper years. I was kind of following. I didn't really like the way that the Progressive Conservative Party had kind of merged with the Reform Party, you know, and I was kind of keeping an eye on it. But then Justin Trudeau came along and Stephen Harper lost the election, and it was a non-issue. And at least that's how I felt. So then I really started getting active and watching what was going on during the leadership race between Maxime Bernier and Andrew Scheer. Because, as you know, I was not a card-carrying conservative, but I just always voted conservative. My parents have always voted conservative. I come from northern Manitoba, which is a traditionally NDP riding. And I had kind of that pro-union NDP philosophy drilled into me, and I rebelled against it because I had this attitude, you know, I was in business and the Liberal Party wasn't really represented in the North. It was either NDP or conservative. And I kind of got into that conservative for life type attitude. But watching the leadership race, I realized that this conservative party was not my conservative party. There was nothing progressive about this conservative party. There was nothing that I really could relate to anymore. Even their fiscal policies, when I actually looked into it, and this is the thing, if you are only following politics by what you are reading in the news or watching on Twitter or Facebook, you're not getting the whole story. And I actually looked into some of these when I started studying economics. I started looking into some of these policies because I actually believed, from a business perspective, from my education and training, you know, in trickle-down economics, where you give tax breaks to the big guys and they create jobs and it trickles down. I actually believed in that for a long time until I started studying economics. Not necessarily accounting, but actual economic theory and policy. And I realized it doesn't work. I absolutely realized that it doesn't work. I realized that we had created this class system in Canada that is not benefiting anyone, and that we needed to work from the bottom up to create solid foundations for our communities. And through doing so, through creating stability and solid social programs and access to education and housing, poverty reduction. These are where the long-term investments in not just our people, but our country will come from, because it will create a more productive economy. It will create a more stable environment. It will create and reduce crime and addictions. And I really started to believe this. And I do believe this, by the way. But when I started looking into the economic policies of the new Conservative Party during the leadership race, I realized that was not me anymore. So here I am, this red Tory, saying I'm conservatively fiscal, or fiscally conservative, but socially liberal. And I realized I'm not even fiscally conservative anymore. They really kind of got me looking into, you know, those top-down heavy crime and punishment type policies that they're looking at, the tax breaks for the rich, these boutique tax credits. We saw this even in the provincial election here in Manitoba with the Conservative government. And I started realizing that this is not a progressive Conservative party. This was the Reform Party. It slowly, you know, transitioned. It wasn't more of a merger. It was more of an acquisition. And even though they kept the conservative name, it really was nothing progressive about it. And am I glad Andrew Scheer's gone? Yes, because he was the least progressive person. You know, every time he kind of gave that grin, that look, it made me want to slap him, because you knew the stuff coming out of his mouth was not true. The 100 day of failures, that campaign that they launched at the beginning of the election, where they spent 100 days with tweets and memes about Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government. And I think I was watching it, and it was like the first 9 days, all 9 of them were either blatant lies or misconstrued facts out of context, or, you know, outright misinformation. And they know, these are intelligent people. I don't think that Andrew Scheer, the Progressive Conservative Party, and the people behind their social media or their campaign strategy are idiots. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were intentionally misleading and misinforming the electorate during a campaign. They were intentionally creating divisiveness. They were intentionally creating distrust with the people and their government. They were intentionally creating discord among residents. They were fanning these flames of, you know, what we see now with Wexit. They were totally doing that. And they were doing it in collusion with some strong provincial leaders like Doug Ford and Jason Kenney, who actually left his constituency. He left his own freaking province to campaign for Andrew Scheer. And these types of relationships piss me off. They pissed me off. Andrew Scheer pissed me off. You know, his stance on LGBTQ, you know, I was watching Candace Bergen, who is an conservative MP here in Portage Lisgar, or whatever the riding is at Portage la Prairie. So like 2 hours away from me. And I was listening to her today talk about how she blames Justin Trudeau and the Liberals for focusing too much on Andrew Scheer's pro-life and anti-LGBTQ sentiments in the media, and that's what cost them an election. And the fact that this is an intelligent woman, this is an intelligent, accomplished woman, and if she believes that and completely ignores what the Conservative Party and Andrew Scheer tried to do and continue to do after this election, she shouldn't be in office. And if she doesn't believe it and she's just doing it to toe the party line, then she is a big part of the problem. And these types of divisive actions, when you get into politics, they do, they piss me off, right? They, you know, it's okay if we do it, but it's not okay if they do it. And this blatant manipulation of social media and people's emotions and fears drives me nuts. I yearn for the days of an honest politician. And, you know, some people will sit there and say there is no such thing, and I do not believe that. I don't believe that. I think with social media, it's too easy to bend and manipulate the things that people say and do. But there are people out there that care and can act with dignity and respect and try to do the job that they are elected or hired to do. I absolutely believe that. Unfortunately, you know, whatever it is, whether it's power, whether it's just media manipulation, whether it is just the fact that when you are in a 24-hour news cycle and you're constantly in a fishbowl that you can never seem to do anything right because people will pick you apart no matter what. I don't know what it is. But the fact that Candace Bergen would sit there and complain about the Liberals today attacking Andrew Scheer's anti-woman, anti-LGBTQ attitudes and policies that he actually spoke to in Parliament. This is something he did as a public official. This is something he did as an elected representative, that he was actually making these statements. He refused to apologize for comparing, you know, same-sex marriage to a dog's leg in the House of Commons. He did not apologize. He refused to take a stand, and she's blaming the Liberals for constantly talking about it. Well, you know what? They should. That's his record as an elected member of parliament. That is what you own when you are in a position. It's a job evaluation. When you are going up for election or re-election, this is a job evaluation. We, the Canadians, are hiring you for a job, and we have every right to look at your record in that job. In the meantime, they have absolutely no freaking problem digging up pictures from 20 or 25 years ago of Justin Trudeau and continuing to use them, even after they lost the election. That, it didn't work. You know, they really thought they had it in the bag. During the election, we had conservative MPs that were caught falsifying celebrity endorsements. They were caught, red-handed, caught falsifying celebrity endorsements. And within a day, the blackface photos were released to the media. Completely new scandal. Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, who was reelected even after this scandal came out, immediately addressed it, immediately apologized, and he has never had, you know, he has never had a bigoted or anti-people of color. He's never had any kind of racist policies, platforms. His government has been the exact opposite of that. And they wanted to drag this up. It didn't work. And at the night of the election, you know, Andrew Scheer was still, he was on the attack. He had a chance. You know, and if I hear one more thing about, you know, the popular vote, I'm going to scream. Because whenever I get into a discussion with a conservative and they say, well, Andrew Scheer won the popular vote, and even in his speech where he was leaving, he mentions it. They're holding on to something that, number one, doesn't matter, and again, is a complete misrepresentation of the facts. Because here are the facts. If the popular vote was to send a message to the Conservative Party, it was not that 33% of Canadians wanted Andrew Scheer as Prime Minister. It was that 67 or 64%, whatever the percentage was, didn't. 64%, two-thirds of our country completely ignored right-wing politics and parties. 63 or 64%, two-thirds of our country voted for left-leaning parties with solid environmental plans, left-leaning parties with solid social policies. That is what Canada wants, two-thirds of the country. So if one-third wants right-wing politics, and let's get this right, they didn't just vote for left-leaning. They took the rightest of the right and wiped them off the map. They took Maxime Bernier and his People's Party and destroyed them. They said, you know what, you are too far right. The progressive conservatives came in and they said, yeah, you're still a little too far right to us. You know, you have your base and you will always have that 30% of the vote. That's your base. 30% of the people will always vote conservative. They will always vote liberal. They will always do what they've always done. It's the rest of them. And that is what this progressive conservative party has not learned, is that your base will vote for you no matter what. So stop pandering to them. Stop pandering to, you know, the pro-lifers. You know, the fact that you've got right now and these pro-life organizations who are openly admitting that their only reason for existing is to get pro-life MPs elected into the House so that we can eventually open up the abortion issue, so we can eventually outlaw abortion rights for women. That's an issue that they need to address. They can't just say, oh, well, we're not going to open the debate, but if somebody wants to, you know, bring it in as a private member's bill, they can. That's not good enough. You need to address that. You need to attack that shit and say, this is not going to happen on our watch. You cannot allow sitting MPs to attend pro-life rallies and say, it's no big deal. Because once they're elected, they are representing the people and they are sending a message about your party and your government. And if you shrug your shoulders, you are condoning that. And this is a stand that Andrew Scheer and this Conservative Party have never done. They've never apologized for the LGBTQT comments, sorry, that Andrew Scheer made. And he's never backtracked on him. Would it have been so freaking hard for him to show up at a single pride parade to show that what he said in 2005 was not relevant to him today? No, he couldn't even do that. This man is not a leader. So am I glad that he's gone? Yes, because he was a symptom of something ugly in the Conservative Party. And the fact that he so narrowly beat out Maxime Bernier tells me what that 30% base of the Conservatives is really like. The good news is that they were rejected by Canada, because that one-third of Canadians that are really right-wing, that really want this divisiveness, that want this, you know, backwards thinking into bigotry and inequality, they're always going to be there. And we've seen that. We've seen what's going on in Alberta with, you know, some of them. And I'm not going to blame Alberta, because it's a few loudmouth people in Alberta fanning the flames of divisiveness to line their own pockets. People like Brett Wilson, who, you know, I used to look up to as an entrepreneur. Now I look at him and just shake my head going, wow, it's so obvious and transparent what you were doing. You're denying climate change, you're pushing Wexit, you're pushing this anti-liberal solid conservative agenda to demean and undermine our entire government for no other reason than personal profit, and yet it's working with some, you know, that scares me. And Andrew Scheer was a symptom of that. And Canada rejected him. My concern now, and why I'm not happy that he's left, is it's too early. You know, this is why the conservatives forced him out. This is why they pulled this private school card now and said you need to go. Because we are in a minority government situation. A minority government situation that I really think that the Liberals and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau learned their lesson on. You know, they were sent a solid message in this election too. That, you know what, Canada may not want right-wing parties and policies with the Conservatives, but they are not giving Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party a free pass. They want a collaborative government. They want a government that is actually going to work together and work for the benefit of all Canadians. And that's what this minority government is tasked with. And I think it can happen. But the reality of a minority government is it actually could fall any time, which is why the Conservatives needed Andrew Scheer out. They couldn't wait till April. They couldn't wait for a long drawn out leadership race. They needed to make their move now to get him out, get a new leader in place, and rebrand themselves to get ready for the next election. You know, ideally it'll be in 2023, which means that they will have, you know, 4 years or 3 years until campaign season starts to get a new leader and a new platform and a new policy in place and hopefully learn from the mistakes that they made. Will they do that? I don't know. But, I mean, we could have an election in 6 months. They needed to move now. And so they pulled that card out. You know, the fact that Andrew Scheer made this comment that he decided that he needed to spend more time with his family is such a load of bullshit that I can't believe he said it with a straight face. And you know what? Do I think that he is feeling the stress at home? Absolutely. We all do. But if he was elected, I doubt he would be stepping down as prime minister because he suddenly realized his lifetime in politics was creating a, you know, division in his family. It was a poor excuse, and apparently it worked for some, but regardless, he's gone. So they have to rebuild this party, and they have to do it quickly. Who is going to be their leader? I don't know. But if this progressive conservative party is going to win, if they are going to make a difference, if they have a chance at winning back, you know, I'm too far gone. They actually, you know, forced me to look into the Liberal Party of Canada's platforms, policies, and histories. And I realized that I don't think I was ever a conservative. I don't think I was ever a red Tory. And if you've never heard that term before, that's what it means. It means a conservative who's a little more central than their base. And that's what I used to think of myself. I don't think of myself as that anymore. I am a liberal. I think I always was. I just didn't know it. And thank you, Andrew Scheer and the Conservative Party, for making me aware that I am a liberal and I'm proud to be a liberal, even here in rural blue Manitoba. But if their Conservative Party does want to make a comeback, if they are going to rebuild, they really truly do have to listen to Canada. Not me, but to Canada. Canada voted overwhelmingly in favor of progressive parties. They voted overwhelmingly in favor for left-leaning parties. They sent a strong message that they want communication and collaboration among the parties, that they are sick of the divisiveness. They are sick of the ugly Trump-style politics with the attack ads. Even today on Twitter, I'm looking at the Conservative page. They can't even tweet without mentioning Justin Trudeau's name. They are so focused on not being Justin Trudeau that they don't even know who they are anymore. And if they really want to come back, if they want to do Canada a service, they need to find the red Tories. They need to talk to those conservatives that are a little more central and go, where should we be going? What should we be doing? They need to forget about Stephen Harper. They need to forget about the old boys club. They need to forget about those guys that have created and turned this party into what it is today, because Canada does not want what this party is today. And that's what they're not hearing. They don't want Stephen Harper. They don't want Stephen Harper 2.0. They don't want that. We want a left-leaning or at least a centrist option in our politics. Donald Trump has scared the bejesus out of us. We see how far right the Republicans in the states are gone, and we are seeing this Conservative Party and I mean, Maxime Bernier was the extreme of this Conservative Party. I have said this many times before, that the People's Party of Canada was just the flip side of the same blue coin that this Conservative Party has become. They were the exact same thing, and 2% of the vote for leadership will attest to that. This Conservative Party needs to learn that Canada does not want Trump-style politics. We do not want extreme right-wing parties. We want tolerance. We want inclusion. You know, we don't want anti-immigration policy. We don't want open-ended gun laws. We don't want these things. We spoke. And if the Conservative Party is really interested in listening, if they're really interested in learning, that's what they'll do, is they will find the red Tories and find a red Tory to lead them with a more centrist platform where they can be fiscally conservative and yet socially liberal. There is nothing wrong with it. We need red Tories. We need that option in this country. We don't want to go too far left. And, you know, I keep saying that the Liberal Party of Canada is the most centrist party that we have. But they're not, even they are not centrist anymore. They've gone a little too far to the left. Or it just might seem like they've gone a little too far to the left because the Conservatives are so far frickin' right of center that, you know, nobody knows where center is anymore. So everybody needs to just stop. Everybody needs to listen to the people. The people that have elected this minority government in Canada sent a strong message to the Liberals that we need more fiscal accountability. And I think a lot of what has happened with the Liberal government isn't so much that their fiscal policies were out of whack. It's just that they didn't explain them enough. They weren't communicated enough. You know, the carbon tax rebate, it did not roll out well. They lost the momentum there, you know, with the rebate instead of a refund. If people actually would have got a, you know, carbon tax refund check, like we do a GST refund, I think that would have made a big difference, but we can't go back and ring that bell. That's hard to say. Although I would love to try. So going forward, it's going to be really interesting to see whether or not this Conservative Party with their new leadership, whoever that may be, is actually interested in learning what Canada wants in a party and what Canada wants in a government and leadership, or if they're going to continue down this reform party style tactic that they have taken lately with Andrew Scheer, before him with Stephen Harper, and just try to ram it down our throats and tell us what we want instead of listening to what we want. So that's my take on the new Conservative Party and the way it should be heading. Will they listen to me? Time will tell. We'll talk to you guys next week. This is Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network!